Romans 12 carries a note of embarrassing nostalgia. It was the first assignment in a homiletics class taught by the late George Hoyer. After the sermon made it to the pulpit and was preached, someone remarked, "I hope you understood what you said. Nobody else did." Recovery from that kind of critique is rare, if ever. Sermons should be graded on intelligibility and little else. Preaching is like dancing. It is an aptitude. It's not a science. You only learn it by doing it, not by reading on how to do it. So the best preachers are people like you, those who do it Sunday after Sunday, and not the academicians. The stars have aligned themselves to allow at least partial restitution for that sermon preached 60 years ago. And by a throw of the pericopes, that day has come. Lutherans do not like to speak of sacrifice. It's too Catholic, the Mass and all that. But if everything about Christian life is about grace, it is more about sacrifice. Christ sacrificed for us, and our sacrificing ourselves for one another. Grace without sacrifice is meaningless. If the Holy Communion is gift, it is only gift because it is first Christ's sacrifice of his body so that his blood could be offered to us in the communion as an atonement for sin. In participating in this sacrament, God sacrifices us together with Jesus to God, and with such sacrifices, Paul says, God is well pleased. In this sacrament, we come to know the words of Jesus, that greater love has no man than that he give his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus did for us and what we do for one another. Left standing by itself without the prelude of the atonement, justification by grace through faith too easily translates into passivity, sheer passivity, expecting God to do something for us. But faith comes with the innate initiative that in receiving Christ's sacrifice, we sacrifice ourselves for others, even if we are not aware of it all the time. In writing to the church at Rome, Paul already knew that the life he lived, God to God, he would sacrifice to God in death. Some had already been stoned. Some were dropped from towers and crushed by the weight of their own bodies. Some others, like Peter and Andrew, were destined to be crucified in the most awkward positions. Lives given to God as living sacrifices would be given as a sacrifice to God in death. Paul would be privileged to a clean-cut end. A swing of the axe, and it would all be over. Swift, quick, and to the point. The first three centuries no longer have the solitary claim to be the age of martyrdom. Today, more Christians than ever are being put to death for their faith. All Christians die in Christ, but those who are put to death for their faith reflect in their deaths the sacrifice of Christ by which he gave his life in death for the life of the world. Quite apart from how each of us comes to the end God has appointed for us, we are living sacrificial lives in that we do not blend into the environment, but we eschew an array of the forbidden behaviors of cohabitation without marriage, abortion, same-sex marriage, serial marriage, greed, infliction of physical and psychological harm. Those who do such things are no longer fit for sacrifice. Congregations and church bodies with agendas that hardly are distinguishable from what non-Christians propose are no longer incorporated into Christ's sacrifice. Christ describes them as the salt that has lost its saltiness. Since they are no longer fit for sacrifice, they are tossed out on the road to be trampled underfoot, a description of the netherworld
worthy of Dante's Inferno. The altar from which God accepts sacrifices is the altar of total abasement of the self, so that we think more highly of others than we do ourselves. In this way, what Christ did in offering himself to God as a sacrifice takes form in our lives. This is the cord that binds us all together as members into the body of Christ. One preaches or teaches in one way, and he's not superior to one who preaches and teaches in another way. Not everyone preaches. Some serve with their hands, and others give generously of their money. The one who serves in one aspect of the church's work is not superior to another one who serves in another way. All are in Christ, and Christ is in all. On a day-to-day basis, the ministry is the most sacrificial. It is a calling, not an occupation, to fill up the time between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. It's not a prelude to retirement, but our work is the vocation by which God calls all believers not to live for themselves, but for others, so that preachers and hearers together become living sacrifices acceptable to God. And now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with every good work to do his will, working in you by the blood of the eternal covenant, that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.